And we're talking with Murray Johansson. He is the president of Legacy Corporate Services. Murray, thank you for being on the show today.
Well, I'm delighted to have a chance to talk with you and your audience.
No, so, you know, you're out in California, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, beautiful California. And so I can't think of a better place to be talking about transformational leadership.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. It's an interesting topic and one of growing interest in a lot of organizations.
So what got you interested in this type of topic?
Well, what happened was many years ago I started out in corporate training and I put together teams in a paradigm they used to call total quality management. Some people call it continuous quality improvement, and today it's kind of morphed into something called Six Sigma. So we used to always put together teams, you know, and have the teams solve problems that the organization was having difficult times with. It was interesting because one of the things I noticed over a number of different sessions that we had done in different corporations is some of these teams would actually not do very well. They would call it failing, or they go into storming. And it ultimately boiled down to the fact that about one out of four of these actually didn't have the internal leadership that was required to be able to take a team and make it work. In fact, they kind of devolved into more of a group of people that feuded all the time. So it ended up I'm having to take over a lot of the leadership functions because it wasn't just there. So it started on this focus on leadership and the importance of leadership, not only in teamwork, but also in change.
You know, there is an age-old question that goes out there, and it is, are leaders born or made? What's your take on it?
It's very interesting how people respond to this. You usually say one way or the other. But actually, the best response is, it's both. There are some elements of leadership that are genetically based, as in traits of personality. So you're extroverted, and of course, leaders tend to be a bit dominant, which is not a bad thing, by all means. So there's part of it that is genetic-based. There's a big part of it, of course, which is environmentally based. And mostly, I think, leadership is learned. It was Vince Lombardi who had this very famous quote. You know, he said, leaders are not born, leaders are made, and they are made by effort and study. And I think he's hit on the essence of this question. So again, we evolve ourselves to be great leaders, even though we might be genetically blessed with certain kind of traits that help out.
Well, you know, this transformational leadership that you're talking about, if you could define it, if you could tell me what it exactly is, that may help, probably help the audience understand exactly what we're going to have a little bit more of a conversation about today.
Sure. Different people tend to define it in different ways, but as its essence is the idea of change, the ability to change others. And associated with that, I think great transformational leaders are actually also changing themselves. So the core of transformational leadership is the ability to see change happen, make change happen, be able to motivate, be able to communicate, be able to influence in such a way that it sees changes in people's thinking, or especially, of course, in people's behavior. So that's at its essence.
When you are trying to build transformational leadership, how would you build it?
Yeah, it depends on whether the individual is someone who's doing it on their own or whether it's more in an organizational setting. So from an organizational standpoint, one has to devise a skill-building strategy that works and is consistent with the organizational strategy. And so there's a huge HR role that's just very strategic and very, very important in terms of design of a program such as this. And of course, in an organizational context, it's really critical to have the top folks involved, especially the, I guess we maybe use the term alpha female or the alpha male at the top of the organization, you know, has to somewhat lead the charge from an organizational standpoint. But again, one does have a lot of ability to be able to change people within one's department. So again, part of it is the idea that we need internal leadership buy-in, and we also need, of course, a strategy, a plan, a development approach that works inside that organization.
So we're talking about transformational leadership here, and we're talking about why it would be important for an organization. So I guess the question is, why should an organization really be interested in this? What is the benefit to them?
Yeah, that's a, it's a, you know, in the age of ROI and continual focus on profit, I think this is a really critical question. Each organization has to look at it. It's very hard to put a number on training, as you well know. However, I think that leadership, especially transformational leadership, from an executive view, is one of the things that helps them to develop a sustainable, competitive advantage. I think this is one of the ways that people in the HR area might also broach the idea of how to do this inside the organization. It's part of our competitive advantage. It's part of what we do to be the best of breed. It puts us ahead of our competitors because it allows us to get better utilization from the workforce. So to me, that is what's really very, very important on this as well.
What is at the core of the transformational skill set?
Yeah, the core, the way we like to operationalize it for people that are evolving themselves and evolving their organization is skill-based competencies. The idea that we want to take theory and turn it into tangible skills that can be observed in the workplace. So at the core, there's what we refer to as the foundation skills. And these are a lot of times things that we all know about. They're the soft set skills. So on one of the most important skills, in my view, and one we probably don't spend as much time on as we should, is communication. Just in communication, which is very complicated, there's over 12 different skill sets that one can learn. You know, listening, there's interpersonal, there's facilitation, there's feedback, there's nonverbal, there's persuasion. There's a whole set of these things. So at its core, great communication skills become really critical. And then, of course, at the foundation level, we also want to provide to people and model a set of theory that's very practical and relevant as it relates to human motivation. So again, communication, we want to get buy-in, and that's a thought process, but motivation is a behavior process. So a lot of times people don't have a clear set of understandings related to what motivates people. And so there's so many theories out there, it's all rather confusing. But the one that we like to focus on, which comes out of psychology actually, is something known as operant conditioning or behavior modification. So one can understand people behave according to the consequences associated with the behavior, and that gives us a huge, huge lever in terms of how we can work with people, how to change people for the better. So I used to call this the ABC approach. So it's like learning your ABCs. You start out with your antecedents, and then you have your behaviors, and then you have your consequences. These two form the really kind of foundation elements associated with great leadership.
You are listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Hi, this is Peter Boldick at Harvest Hill Farms. For those folks who are looking for healthy eating alternatives, we have been raising natural range-fed beef and poultry right here in the great state of Maine for over 15 years. Let us introduce you to our Never Ever program. Our animals are never ever introduced to growth hormones or antibiotics, only raised as nature intended. We are conveniently located on Route 26 in Mechanic Falls. To find out more, call us at 998-5485 or go to our website, harvesthillfarms.com. That's harvesthillfarms.com.
I love Maine, and I'm interested in Maine news.
But I want it quickly and simply.
All in one place would be good.
You've just described a great website.
Really?
MaineNewsSimply.com.
Maine news.
Three words. MaineNewsSimply.com. Go to the site and I'll explain. MaineNewsSimply.com collects news as it happens from news sources all over Maine. It's compiled and presented online in an easy-to-read format that keeps you up to date in just minutes. MaineNewsSimply.com is for people on the go who want the news of Maine fast, anywhere, anytime.
I'm on, and you're right. This is exactly what I asked for.
Discover what thousands of Mainers already have. Maine News Simply, the free online website and daily newsletter loaded with headlines and stories from close to 50 news sources.
Maine News Simply looks great, easy to read, current, interesting. I like it.
Try it today, and while you're there, sign up for the newsletter. It's all free. Three words, MaineNewsSimply.com. The smarter, faster way to stay on top of the news in Maine.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safe Light, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, Safe Light has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want Safe Light, or call us at 1-800-800-2727 or go to safelight.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com. Murray, how are you doing today? You doing all right?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
No, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. And we're talking about actually a very, very important topic, and that is transformational leadership. And again, we are talking with Murray from Legacy Corporate Services out in beautiful California. And which, as a matter of fact, I will say, I was just out in California for the Lincolnshire meeting, Lincolnshire International meeting, and stayed in San Diego, and it was beautiful. And I wanted to thank you for presenting at our event. I think you did a great job, and I wanted to publicly thank you for that.
Oh, that's quite all right. I'm glad I had the opportunity.
All right, so we're talking about transformational leadership. So how would you get started in this leadership development role having to do with it? And I'm going to add on that, what are some of the major mistakes people or organizations will think of in regards to transformational leadership?
Yeah, I think that the best leader leadership development programs are actually the ones that we try in ourselves. And so I'd say that oftentimes what we need to do is start looking at our own ability to lead and how we can best improve that. So again, if I was a professor, I'd say read a lot. You know, but there was a famous guy by the name of Mintzberg who says, you know, you can't learn to swim by reading about it. I think this is a really key observation. So again, when it comes to leadership development, we got to understand what we need to do, but then we also need to go ahead and start practicing it in the real world. So the idea here is that all of us are leaders in an organizational system, and we might not view ourselves that because we may not have a super long job title that goes vice president or director or C-level, CIO, COO, CEO, but all of us are leaders because we have to influence people. Our ideas have to be sold, and so we have these moments of truth where we're interacting with someone. Maybe it's coaching, maybe it's counseling, maybe it's motivating, maybe it's delegating. So again, the way I would get started myself is to evolve myself and evolve my skills and make sure that I'm walking the talk. It's called modeling, actually. So there's principles in the world of psychology that tell us the most powerful model of what we want to see is ourselves. So someone once told me, you know, hey, the best way to change an organization is to change the boss. And so at one level, I think that's really, really important.
No, I absolutely agree. You know, one of the things that comes with this is the question, does this style work in all cultures? Is this, transformational leadership something that no matter what type of organization, whether it be soft lines, hard lines, manufacturing, professional services, does it really matter, or is this really more about the individual leadership of people and how they interact?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I've seen a lot of research on it, and I've seen research coming in from overseas, actually, research coming out of Hong Kong, for example, and out of Singapore. And the research there indicates that, yes, it does work in different organizational settings. So culture, I think, is a real key variable. And one quick example of this is that in Asian cultures and some other cultures as well, one doesn't always need to show the leadership characteristics that we would normally use here in America, primarily because the authority system works a little bit different there, so you can get a lot of things done through authority. So, the cross-cultural studies have indicated that it does work across cultures, but again, it would have to be adapted, obviously, to a different environment.
Is it risky to do transformational leadership? What are some of the pitfalls that companies can go into? I can envision communication issues. I can envision, change. People don't like change. People get concerned about it. I can envision there is, whenever somebody changes their leadership behavior and models, that it has an effect, and there are, of course, unintended consequences. Tell me about some of the risks behind it.
Yeah, that's another interesting point. There actually is a certain amount of risk associated with change. Different types of research has indicated, that some organizations are very oriented towards change and other organizations are very resistant to change. As a general rule, if you're part of an organization that's been around for a really long time, or that is a very large organization, of course, what we call a bureaucracy, there's going to be a lot of organizational factors that are going to be very resistant to any kind of change program. So we'll have to say that transformational leadership is not the most safe of things because it always risks failure. I'd actually seen a study once that said that organizational change, system change across the organization as a whole, has a very high failure rate. We're looking at somewhere around 2 out of 3 efforts actually actually fail for various reasons. So from a risk standpoint, we'll have to say that it's not easy to change people. People complain about the routine, they complain about the order, all the time, it's always the same, nothing ever changes, da-da-da-da. And then you ask them to change, and they don't want to. It's someone used to refer to this as the rubber band effect. When you ask organizations or people inside an organization to change, it's like pulling on a rubber band. And of course, that's your effort. The rubber band gets pulled, but of course, the rubber band tends to snap back to the old way of doing things. So, for a lot of reasons, related to the individual, related to the organization, transformational leadership is not easy. But it's really important from a strategic standpoint because if an organization doesn't change, it's highly likely they won't adapt to the markets that they find themselves in. So it's partly a organizational prosper issue, partly an organization survival issue. And, of course, today, many organizations are striving for innovation. Innovation is another real key element which comes out of this transformational style.
Is it important while you're doing this to be thinking about mentoring or a role model or some sort of coaching process that takes you through this transformation because of the risk?
Yeah, that's I oftentimes like to, you know, I work with individuals or executives on this kind of stuff. It has to do with partly what we control and what we can't control. So you always want to try to have reasonable influence that we are able to use to be able to influence people properly. So that becomes a real critical element.
What are some of the harder to develop characteristics in this area?
Yeah, we got interested in this a few years ago from a skill building standpoint and a knowledge standpoint. So we looked at what kinds of competencies one really needs to develop to be a great transformational leader outside of the two I already mentioned, which was communication skills and motivation. So one competency that people need to develop further is what is known as a transformational mindset. So it's a set of beliefs, actually, you know, that support the process. You know, there's some people out there that say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And there's other people out there that say, hey, something can always be improved. So this is part of a mindset, a set of beliefs. And it includes some things like development of character, which, of course, can be very, very, very difficult. So beliefs is a very difficult thing to change on the mindset side. A second thing that we like to stress with people is that they have the ability to increase their influence. And I think this is an important thing. A lot of times people just kind of give up. You know, they just kind of say, you know, you can't change the system. The organization's immune to change. But you can change the people around you. And you can influence up and you can influence sideways. And, of course, this requires an understanding of how to use power. So there's 9 of these different types of influence, which is including in coaching. So, again, coaching is a real key element of this when one wants to build skills. So we have mindset. We have influence. We also have a competency build related to skill building itself. It's always been kind of a mystery to me that we want new behaviors. We want people to engage in better behaviors. And yet, most people, if you ask them, they wouldn't know how to build a skill. I mean, they'd probably say, well, I don't know. That's not my job to build skills. I don't know how to do that. And so the coaching movement is very, very critical on this. And so people need a model of how to build skills. So go from theory through practice all the way through mastery. And of course, that is sometimes very difficult. And then finally, and this is the one that I think a lot of times we in the world of management sometimes forget, we are all of us products that can be improved. We are all of us needing to engage in personal improvement efforts continuously, unceasingly. We should never, ever, ever stop. And so this is the thing that we refer to as self-mastery. And when I looked at why executives derail, why their careers end up going into the dumpster, one sees a lot of personal characteristics, things they just didn't take care of. But when they became executive, now these things are very, very, very critical. An example would be that they don't listen very well. Well, when you're in the organization or at the lower level, it doesn't matter. But when you're an executive, listening becomes part of what you have to do really, really well. So we have these 4 competencies: transformational mindset, the ability to influence, the skill at building skill, and then the last one, which is the unceasing effort to master our own abilities and to change ourselves. If we can't change ourselves, it's highly likely we're not going to be able to change others.
No, I think you're absolutely correct. Murray, this has been a great topic and a great discussion about transformational leadership. I appreciate so much you taking the time to be on the show today. If somebody wants to learn more about transformational leadership, how would they get a hold of you?
Yes, we'll have a link, of course, to the website. So the best option there would be to get a hold of myself through our corporate website, which is www.legacy.com, spelled LEGACEE. And that would, I think, be a great way just to start. And I really would encourage anyone who is interested in transformation and anyone who is thinking about evolving in their leadership skills to please get a hold of us. We have lots of information that we're more than willing to share to help anyone who would like to take this on.
Perfect. And, of course, anybody can go to the HRPowerHour.com website after this, and we will have certainly a link that they can click on to get directly to that website. Barry, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. I appreciate your time, and I look forward to talking with you in the future.
Yes, and thank you, David. I appreciate the opportunity to have a chance to share some ideas with your audience.
And now the HR tip of the week. In today's world, finding a job takes more than just sending out your resume to hundreds of postings online. Make sure that you're really making a marketing plan. Make sure you're taking the time to network the people who really know you. They're the ones that are going to help you find that successful career. Also, believe it or not, social media can make a massive difference in how others, especially potential employers, see you. So make sure your social media imprint looks neat, clean, and professional. HR professionals do look at your social media profile. Recruiters do want to know what you say and do. So that's your HR tip of the week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be speaking with a show favorite, Carrie Baker from Norton Financial. She's the senior account executive, and we're going to be giving you another update on the Affordable Care Act. Also, James Barmer, he is the director of Maine Business Leadership Network, or BLN, in Augusta, Maine, and he's going to be talking about disabilities and hiring individuals with a disability in the workplace. That's on the HR Power Hour next week. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 2 p.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.